You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Tuesday's edition of the podcast, where we're looking ahead to the action at Hexham, Suttle and Wolverhampton. There's also an Irish meeting on at Fairy House as well, and we'll bring you the best of the action on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Ross Briley, Gary Capewell and Craig Forsyth keeping you company throughout the afternoon. But joining myself, Sam Norris, to look ahead to Tuesday's action is John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm pretty well, Sam. Yes, I would like Carlisle United to win a few more matches over the past month, but are striving to get into the playoffs are the Blues.
You can't have it all your own way, though, John.
No, one cannot. And as long as they stay in Div 2, I'll be reasonably happy.
Yes, fair enough. The Monday jury is first on our agenda today, John, discussing Dubai and Good Friday. One of the questions that hasn't been asked, or something that hasn't been mentioned on the Monday jury, which I'd like to get stuck into first, John, is Kerry Lee, a first Grade 1 winner for her at Fairy House on Sunday, just before we get into the jury. It's been a phenomenal debut season training, and it just goes from strength to strength.
Absolutely unbelievable. She's trained horses who have run decently for her father Richard in the past, but shown nothing like the continued consistency and good form that Kerry has produced from them. And you know, it doesn't matter whether it's in a big race in Ireland or a small race at Carlisle. Horses run really well. They look incredibly fit, and she's got a sort of magic touch at the moment. I'm afraid that the Mr. Handicapper will be grinding his teeth and working his computer for next season. But, you know, well done to her.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get into the Monday jury now then, John. A lot of it's, it's all a focus towards the flat season. We'll start with question one, which is, can Shima Classic winner postponed dominate the middle distance division this season? Obviously, already has won the King George last season. The switch from Luca Cumani to Roger Varian has, the horse has not even batted an eyelid. He's just carried on where he left off.
I think dominate is the crucial word. You know, will postpone dominate the middle distance? It's possible. And he was very impressive in the Shima Classic, no question about that. Had to show a bit of speed to get into the right position early on, did that, and then galloped relentlessly to the line. Brilliantly prepared by Roger Varian and his team. And as you say, King George winner last year, there's absolutely no reason why postponed should not go on to certainly as great things, if not even greater. 12-1 for the Ark, incidentally, at the moment. Is an interesting wager. I think postponed is just the sort of horse who might go for the Ark. Roger Varian is very shrewd and clever, you know. He will make one thing definite, that he won't over-race this horse postponed. And there's always a chance that a three-year-old will come out and be outstanding during the, you know, early to middle part of the season, which could embarrass, if you want to use that word, postponed. But a very, very good horse, and, you know, he's certainly on my shortlist for the Ark, although it's amazing to think one could even talk about the Ark. At this stage of the year.
In March, yeah, that's right. It's an interesting point you make there, actually, John, because obviously Golden Horn came from absolutely nowhere last season and just ended up making mincemeat of nearly everyone he faced.
Yes, I mean, you come July, when the three-year-olds have had plenty of time to show their ability, we could well be thinking about something else. But at the moment, postponed is obviously an outstanding prospect.
Okay, which horse from Dubai World Cup night would you most like to see at Royal Ascot? I almost I almost wish we had dirt so we could see California Chrome there, but I don't think he'll be making the trip over.
No, I don't think he will. He was tremendous, actually, wasn't he, California Chrome? Very impressive interview with Emma Spencer on the morning line, the trainer, and he said that he thought the horse had improved no end since last year, and that, you know, he'd even grown. My goodness, it was impressive. Yes, I'm afraid we won't see California Chrome. Nice to think we might, but we won't. Similarly, the Japanese may not be sending their really good horses. It would be nice to see Real Steel, for example, at Royal Ascot. But I think the horse we will see is Buffering, right, and a very good winner of the Group 1 Sprint, and seemingly immensely popular in Australia. And we do know that the Australian sprinters have come regularly to Royal Ascot over the past decade, and they have done remarkably well. So I hope Buffering will, in fact, make the trip, and he'll certainly be an excellent addition.
Okay. Did California Chrome's win justify the decision to bring the dirt back to Maidan? Obviously, they were trying to get the American horses to come back.
Yeah, I think it did. I mean, to say they got something like five American horses, didn't they, in addition to California Chrome. And that had to be a short-term advantage and profit. And the change of surface meant that we had some excellent horses from the States. Whether, though, it is a long-term switch that will be really favourable is, I think, a little bit questionable. Obviously, the States will continue to send star horses, and they could well dominate, if we use that word, the World Cup on the dirt. I don't think, you see, that the surface will really appeal to the European horses, and consequently, the field might cut up a bit and end up with a sort of Japan v. USA, as well as the home horses in Dubai. I think it's questionable, actually, Sam, as to whether the switch has been really successful. We just have to wait a bit.
Okay. And certainly, as you say there, you'd favour Tapita for the European horses. It's much more likely that...
Yeah, I think the Tapita is an excellent surface for European horses. Am I right not in saying, though, that the heat out in Maidan had caused a bit of problem with that surface?
I believe so, yeah.
So probably the switch had got to be made. Yep. And on that grounds, it's been successful.
Okay. Did we see a horse capable of mixing it in group company on Good Friday? Of course, it was all-weather finals there at Lingfield. I know you keep a keen eye on the all-weather action over the season, John.
Yes, I do. I hope that wasn't too cynical. No, I'm an all-weather supporter, actually. The wizard, down there, would cough if he heard me say that.
Don't mention it to him.
On the whole, I am with it. And on that score, as I think I said last time I was in the studio, Newcastle's all weather looks tremendous, you know, and they have completely refurbished the race course there, and it looks as though it ought to be a big success. Did we see anything on Good Friday? Well, we saw a couple of really good horses. I'm a supporter of Volunteer Point. I thought this horse ran well and is improver. Whether he's quite good enough to mix it in group company is questionable. Rafe Beckett, though, is a real hand at improving fillies to this class. And I thought Moonrise Landing, and a lot of other people thought this too, was a really decent winner of the marathon. And she's obviously an improver with not only stamina, but also a certain amount of acceleration of turn of foot. And with the stable and the trainer's reputation, I think Moonrise Landing could easily move into group company.
Okay, Moonrise Landing then. An easy one comes up next, John. What wins the Lincoln? Of course, it's the traditional curtain raiser of the flat season. We are racing on Monday at Redcar, but this for a lot of people is the first serious bit of flat action we get in the year.
Yes, it is. And, of course, that the Newmarket dogs have been barking me trot for some time, although recently there's been, I think, just a little bit of questionable vibes coming from Newmarket about the current favourite for the Lincoln. So I think it's a bit short and I pass him by. You know, in recent years, Sam, the North have done very well in the Lincoln, wherever it has been run. And I think they've got three horses who've got a really good chance of getting in the money here. There's old Birdman. I love him. If he gets in, and the early part of the season, he often runs really well. But, you know, he's been about, obviously, for a pretty long time. The two I like are David O'Meara's runner. David O'Meara is going to be a trainer to follow. That's a silly thing to say. He's been a trainer to follow for several seasons. But, you know, moving now to Wart Hill near York in a part of Mel Britton's old yard, which obviously he's improved enormously. He's got some really good new recruits. And I think he's going to have a tremendous season, David O'Meara. And Lord of the Land, who's been very well backed for this race, had got some excellent form in France. I don't think David would want the ground to dry up too seriously, but assuming that it is good to soft or even better, I think Lord of the Land would go well. And then one of the shrewdest men on the Northern Flat Race circuit is Carl Burke. And Carl Burke has got a horse in this contest who's got, in my view, a very reasonable chance of getting there. You're Fired in the Lincoln, who showed really quite a lot of improvement in the latter half of last season. Like soft ground, so if it does dry out at Doncaster, it won't be in his favour. But You're Fired, spelt Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, Fired, is my idea of the best outsider.
OK, You're Fired then at a decent price for Johnny the Lincoln. Final question to go on the Monday jury then. Give us a flat horse to follow for the 2016 season.
Yeah, well, quite a lot of them sort of come to mind. I think sort of classy-wise, Foundation has obviously got a major chance of going really well. Desperately unlucky in the Racing Post Trophy. Couldn't find a line anywhere and eventually was allowed basically to come home on his own without any serious pressure. But a really decent horse, and I think he'll probably train on. But I've got a little bit of a mole in the Newmarket stable of Martin Mead, Sam. And, you know, his horses are very decent and he very often produces an excellent two-year-old. Now, my mole has been squeaking at me for the past month that they, the Meads, have got a very decent two-year-old called Blofeld after the James Bond character. And Blofeld is meant to appear for the first time at the Newmarket Craven meeting. And the word from Martin Mead's stable is that this is a particularly good two-year-old prospect, and Martin Mead's two-year-olds are always worth watching on debut. So Blofeld is my horse to follow.
Okay, there we are. An interesting one from John. That wraps up the Monday jury then for this week. We'll look ahead to Tuesday's racing now. We've got two from Hexham, one from Wolverhampton and one from Suttle. But we start with Hexham's 3:05, a novice's hurdle here for us. Just shy of 3 miles, the trip for the eight runners that are down to contest this one, John. And pretty similar to a race I was talking to Ollie about yesterday. Half the field did not complete last time and the other half are in reasonable nick.
Yeah, that is true. And I picked out sort of three or four horses from the race. I think we want to be a bit careful about Hexham and see what the ground is going to be like. They've had a lot of rain in that part and the ground has been pretty soft. But, you know, at the same time, it's been drying in the north over the past week. So it may be faster than one thinks. So a caveat to look at the ground. The first one I picked out in the race is Too Many Chiefs. Was a good winner at Hexham, in fact. Last time out, beat a horse called Milan Dancer. Not a great animal, but did it well enough. And Sharon Watt trains Too Many Chiefs. And Sharon Watt quite often puts in a winner at Hexham, so might be worth thinking about that. Then we have Billy Billy, Stuart Crawford's runner. My goodness, Stuart Crawford has lots of winners at the Northern Tracks. I mean, Perth and Ayr are his two favourites. favourite venues, but he's beginning to send horses to other northern tracks, Hexham included. Billy was a really tremendous winner last time out. Beat Stradna Hanna, no slouch, that horse, Sue Smith's, generally better known as a chaser, of course, rather than a hurdler, but a decent animal, and won by a long way, Billy, and has been very consistent in Ireland before that. So he's got a very decent chance. Then we have Network Rouge, representing Kim Bailey. Network Rouge was a pretty decent winner at Warwick and at Worcester. Good enough to go to the festival to run in the Albert Bartlett, but was pulled up. My theory about horses who run in Cheltenham is watch out next time out. And as Network Rouge was actually pulled up in the Albert Bartley, I won't be following him. My alternative to Billy is Malcolm Jefferson's horse here, Gully's Edge, who has been knocking at the door throughout the season. Ran well last time out, second to Quinto, John Quinn's hurdler, at Catterick, and Quinto ran pretty decently at Carlisle. So, summing up this race, the 3:05 at Hexham, I thought it was a match between Billy and Gully's Edge, and I think Billy's got the class to win.
Billy it is then for John in the 3:05. We stay at Hexham then for their next race. This is the 3:40, a handicap hurdle here over 2.5 miles with 10 runners down to contest this one. What do you fancy, John?
Well, 10 runners, but several of them, certainly 50% of the field in my view, have little chance of winning in decent company. The three I've picked out are CW to begin with, who represents the Irish stable of Ronan McNally, and ran really decently at Kelso last time out, fairly recently, second to Nick Alexander's really quite creditable winner, Marley Massey. And on that form, it's definitely got a chance. We then have two other horses in the race that are trained more or less locally. And one of them is Belle Weir, who represents Diane Sayer. Diane's been fairly quiet recently, although Bailey's Concerto ran very well when we last saw, and there have been one or two horses knocking at the door from the Sayer stable again. She won't be quiet for long. And Belle Weir likes Hexham and ran pretty decently when third to Old Magic of Bangor last time out. Ought to go fairly well. And then from Ireland again, we have Dubai Devils, who's got excellently consistent form, ran well at Goram Park last time out, and appears here at Hexham. I think those are the three, and I'm going to go with Belle Weir to give Diane Sayer a local winner.
Belle Weir it is then for John in the 3:40. We go to Wolverhampton now for their 4:25, a handicap here on the level over 1.5 miles. Just 6 runners line up for this one, but a very interesting contender at the top of the weights, John Shrewd, who's been in fine form over the obstacles this year, and switches back to the flat now. It got to be of interest.
Oh, he's got tremendous interest. It is my selection for the race, Sam Shrewd. He's been in great form over hurdles, as you say. A handicap hurdle winner at Musselburgh, also ran well at other courses. Wherever he's been over hurdle, Shrewd has showed massive improvement. Quite useful on the flat prior to going to Ian Jardine, who is very much a trainer to follow. Had been with Michael Bell, had also been with John Ferguson and Keith Dalgleish. And just as he has bought to go to Ian Jardine's stable, Connections decided to run him in the November handicap. He didn't actually do a great deal in that Doncaster race, but it quickened him up nicely for Hurdle's campaign. Back on the flat, I think he's got a great chance. Others, mainly all-weather specialists, for instance, Grand Meister has got a major chance for John Quinn, has been very consistent without quite winning as much as he ought to this season on the all-weather. Ran well at Chelmsford last time out. The same could be said about Zach Attack, a good second at Chelmsford last time out. And it is a race that even Scarlet Minstrel could take a hand, or Heart Locket from Mick Easterby's yard. But I'm going to go with the top one, Shrewd for me.
True that is then for John in the 4:25. We go to Sutherland for the final race on today's podcast. This is the 4:40, a handicap hurdle here, over 2.5 miles with a dead 8 runners at the time of recording. What'll it be here?
Yeah, pretty modest race this, I think, Sam. Pret A Tout, though, has been about for a long time and has been showing a little bit of a renaissance recently. Last time out ran well at Toaster, was second to Visible Light on that occasion, staying on quite well up the hill. And he likes Southwell and could easily take a hand in the finish. So that's Pret A Tout. I don't know what to think about Riddlestown. He likes Southall. There's no question about that. Runs his races really thoroughly and well at the Midlands track. Go elsewhere and he looks a plodder. However, he did well at Southall last time out, and back here, he's got a chance, and odd enough, he beat Visible Light last time out. So, in a way, he should be Pret A Tout, but the selection will be Clara Peggotty in this contest. I thought Clara Peggotty ran pretty well when last seen at Southwell, finished second to Definitely Better in a decent race, and I thought Clara Peggotty ought to score.
Clara Peggotty it is for John then. In the final race on today's podcast, just give us a quick reminder then, please, of your four selections for the action on Tuesday.
Well, we start off with the 3:05 at Hexham. Sam, we're going for Billy Billy there, an Irish contester. Or contender. Then in the 3:40 at Hexham, local Cumbrian-trained Belle Weir to win for Diane Sayre. Off to Wolverhampton for 4:25. Ian Jardine in great shape. Shrewd is the choice. And 4:40 at Southall. I thought Tom George's Clara Peggotty had to go close.
Superb stuff. Thank you, John, and best of luck.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Remember to tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio on Tuesday afternoon from 1:40 p.m. Ross Briley, Gary Capel and Craig Forsyth are guiding you through the action at Hexham, Southall and Wolverhampton. We've also got an Irish meeting at Fairy House, so make sure you join the guys. For all of that, you've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.